And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So I'm reading... do this about once a week, in some of the Babylon Bee headlines. You ready?
All right.
John Kerry praises Haitian cannibals' efforts to reduce humanity's carbon footprint.
You know, the thing is we're now in the mode of having to double check it and say, well, maybe he might have really done that. We need to double check the work from the brilliance over there at Babylon Bee.
And we had talked earlier on the show. In fact, we just got into it almost by accident. But we were talking about how our colleague Ben Shapiro and also Matt Walsh got into a Social Security X-war. Because you couldn't view it as anything else. I mean, it was really interesting because they were both, and it was Ben Shapiro first talking about the fact that Social Security has to go, you know, and...
Well, Ben is young.
but I thought about that. I thought about with both, because everything they said is true. There isn't anything that they said that wasn't true about Social Security. And the one thing, and when Ben lined it out, because what happened is the troll started just hitting him and then hitting him personally, and you've never worked a day in your life and things like that. And and what he was stating, no, he says anybody, you know, now, he said, you're going to have to talk about younger people going to have other options besides it. And he also talked about the fact that we shouldn't have a retirement age at 65, that people who are healthy should work longer than 65. And that created a buzzsaw like you can't believe. And they said, well, what about people that work their whole lives? He goes, that would be a health issue. You know, if you manual labor, well, then there would be exceptions to that. Now, you and I talked about, well, how would you actually figure that out?
Well, because then you turn it around and it starts to have qualifiers that are similar to Social Security disability.
Right. So the solution... you know, the solution in our society, because when you talk, because what they were saying is, look, your money's been stolen and there is no money that pays for it.
Right.
But the fact is, as we've said, what you have to understand is we still get it. I still get it once a year. Mm-hmm. I know how much I put into my Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And then I double it for what the company put in, which is technically my money, which gives people the indication that your own personal account exists.
Right.
And that's part of the... By the way, Attorney General James, you should file fraud against the Social Security Administration for doing that.
Right.
And it's like, but there is no money. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't exist. Everything is coming out of the benefits you pay right now are going directly to people that are collecting Social Security, and the money that has to be repaid back through the IOUs is coming from normal taxpayer dollars. So his point was, you know, you're not, in essence, paying for your own Social Security right now because they stole that money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're repaying it back, not with interest, I'm assuming. Did the I don't think the IOUs requested interest on that money, did it?
I don't think so.
When the Congress decided. So, I mean, the all the points they made were interesting, but what I got out of it is they're in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ben's in his mid to late 30s, and so it would be Matt Walsh, because Matt Walsh came to his defense when the trolls started hitting him, you know, about his, and I just started laughing because he must have been on X.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It reminded me of the time that when I first got on Facebook, and it was me and Cousin Oliver, Robbie Rist, the actor Robbie Rist, who played Cousin Oliver in the Brady Bunch. Now, right. I know him because he used to play guitar in my buddy's band.
Right.
He's a great guitarist. I mean, he's really a good guitarist
right. And
a great singer. He really, really is. But when he was out in California, by the way, he moved to Florida. He was just
really,
yes, he was an insane lib.
Mm-hmm.
And we started arguing one time, and I got home. It was a Friday. I got home from work, and it was like, I don't know about, you know, well, I got home at 6 in the morning, then went to sleep and woke up at like 10 or 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had posted something. I posted something. I never moved. It was like 1 in the morning. For 13 hours, I was arguing back and forth with him, and you never got anywhere because...
See, now you know what it's like to be married. Go ahead.
I got to change the topic then for a moment here.
So, yeah, I may have to change bedrooms for a few nights.
I've changed the topic. Well, but the whole point was I was on 13 hours, never accomplished anything. But when you just said the marriage thing, yesterday, God is my witness. Now, I do all of my show prep on my phone. You know, I don't need a computer anymore, so I can do it wherever I am.
Right.
So I was on the recliner, and the TV's on in the background. I mean, I would have when I was a kid going to school, it was always turn off everything and do your homework.
Right.
And now I do my homework with everything on.
Put the horse carriage away.
Yeah, now I do my homework with everything on. I'm doing my show prep, which is my homework.
Right.
And the TV's on. The radio's on in the background. I mean, there's like 20 things going on. And I'm able to focus. And I'm like, wow, being an adult is really great because I'm doing my homework, but it's really enjoyable. Because
when you like the homework.
When you like the homework, yeah.
Right.
But everything else is going on, and nothing is disturbing me. I'm actually able to focus and concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
But... So I had, you know, YouTube stuff on, and it was going through political stuff.
Right.
And all of a sudden I went, what is this on here? And it's like two professors, and the lecture's like something on sex. And I'm like, what is this?
Hmm.
And it was from 2009. It was the University of Texas and their study of, because I went to the title of it, and it was her study of why women want sex, and it was really a study that was done by professors, and it was an outline to all these people, and it was a serious lecture.
All male professors, I assume.
No. One of the lead researchers was a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, woman, and
it, also one of the test subjects.
And
she responded to the survey.
So I looked at it, and it just had started. So I looked at the headline. I went, well, how long ago? Okay, what is it? What's the headline? It goes, why women want sex, mm. Why women have sex or whatever. What's the motivation behind it? And so as I'm reading the headline, it's still playing beneath it. And she said, we did with the study, found out there were 237 reasons why. And then I looked at it, I go, how long is this? I go, it's an hour. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. 237 reasons? No wonder I never understood them.
Well, and there's the follow-up part of it. The 237 reasons, and each of those reasons, when a male professor looks at that and is trying to follow up on it, well, he has 100 questions for each reason.
But it was thousands of women, and it was like, it'd be like their top five.
That wasn't some one woman that had 237 reasons.
Right. It wasn't every woman had 237 reasons, and it was just like the total number of things in the survey.
Yeah, it wasn't like Madonna was part of it. So that's, it's...
Well, conquest for her. By the way...
Well, not these days.
By the way, that was one of the reasons.
Conquest?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Conquest. They went through all the different... And both, as I said, both men and women, the major reasons are all the same. The major reasons. The ones that they found, which, were, basically love to become closer, and pleasure. pleasure and all of that. So that was, and that was almost universal. But then they went through all the rest of them. And there were things like where they talked about, what did they call it? Mate insurance. Like, mate insurance. Okay, I got to pay attention to this one. What does this one mean? And it was, and then I went, okay, I can understand. Because revenge was one of the reasons, revenge.
We're talking about extramarital sex at that point.
Yes, you are. But it was just why women have sex. Right. It was just the general thing. And so, so you're talking about affairs, too, because that's your...
Right.
That's,
yeah.
And one of them was, basically partner insurance. And it was like, if the male you think he's not healthy, or you're having problems and you think eventually you're going to get divorced, you sleep with somebody else to keep them interested in you in case this all blows up.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay. But they went through a bunch of things of what women are attracted to and why, and went through the evolutionary things of it. It was actually pretty fascinating. Hmm. And I didn't watch. I only watched like half hour of it.
Right.
And I didn't know it, was on the background. I go, what is this? I had to go back and watch part of it again, but it was actually a real study on it. Hmm. So, so that was interesting. Yeah, so there it is. The Babylon Bee headline. John Kerry praises Haitian cannibals' efforts to reduce humanity's carbon footprint. And then, because we had mentioned the whole thing with Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh, get back to work, you lazy bums, shouts Ben Shapiro at retirement home.
I love it.
And he's syndicated by the same company that we work for.
Right.
That syndicates us. So.
Right, yes.
But it was actually interesting, except then the trolling started, and they're responding to the trolls because the attacks got personal, like, you never worked a day in your life, and it's like, stop that. And you got the typical liberal stuff,
right?
And he was trying to make more of the theoretical point of what works and what doesn't work. And as we've always stated, it was always a Ponzi scheme and it worked early on, but where it's going now is not what it originally was.
Well, it's you're trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And we agree it shouldn't have started that way. And then building out the pathology of dependency the way that we did, because if you want to introduce this idea that conservatives had talked about for a long time, and I support the idea still, and that's to privatize it and let me handle my own investments and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, that would go south quickly because too many people wouldn't properly manage that, which would mean in a relatively short period of time, they would be looking to the government for other services and handouts. And you get to the welfare state pretty quickly if you're not handling that money properly. And you know, that's the downside of it. I still support it. I think it should be, we should have been in charge of it all along. It shouldn't have started. But there's no, I guess the question would be, how do you implement that if you're going to do that transition?
Right.
It would have to be here's a buyout. Here's the lump sum buyout, basically. And you would have people lining up to take that. And if they're underwater where they are now, financially, it's extremely attractive. And then the money goes away, and then they're back in line for government services and money. And so, I mean, again, I just don't know where that would end. This is the problem when you put in the world's greatest Ponzi scheme, which is exactly what it is, mm-hmm. and expect it's going to pan out well, that it's going to work as they told you.
Right, but you understand the passion of the people that put in their entire lives and are close to retirement age where they will be collecting it, whether they retire or not.
Mm-hmm.
Hi! Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody!
Yeah.
Good to see you.
You're way past retirement age.
Yeah, but not maximum Social Security.
Yeah, not deferred. Yeah,
that's yeah. still a couple of years, a few
right.
years away.
Right.
But you look at it, and we're intellectually honest, on it. But if you're in your 30s, you're putting the money in, and you don't think you're ever going to collect, and that's the mentality there. I'm going to collect probably the majority of what's owed to me, and probably so will you. But if you're in your 30s, I can understand Ben and even Matt going, look, we're putting our money in, we're never going to get it back, and that's the, and so why are we doing this? It doesn't
right.
make any sense. So if
right.
you're in your 30s, it all depends, because when you talk to young people, they're putting in, and all of them believe we're not going to get anything.
Right.
And that's something that's being ignored by the Social Security in general, one of the most irresponsible behavior that has gone on. You and I remember when George W. Bush tried to, look, we need to start moving and privatizing this. And the Democrats said no. And he goes, well, look, if you've got something better, bring it to the table. Let's negotiate. And they said, no, we're not even going to negotiate. Nothing changes at all in it. We're not going to change it.
Right. The media mocked him.
And that was really the last serious effort to do anything about Social Security.
That was it. That's where it died, right there.
And they mocked him. They said, nope, we're not going to. Well, now we are where we are now.
Right. And people in Ben's age group look at it, as you just pointed out. Which means everybody younger than him, of course. We're not going to ever get any of that. That's never going to, which means, all right, well, where's it going to? And to what end?
When they were making the point that, but if I started collecting today, I'm not collecting my money, I'm collecting his money. I understand the point.
Mm-hmm.
Because his money is going directly to pay my benefits. There is no fund that exists that still has my money that I put in.
No.
All the, by the way, well, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and this is the reason why we've been, that we've had a problem with it all along.
Yeah. But it was fascinating. But the trolling part was entertaining, the accusation.
Well, no,
have never worked a day in your life as if doing this isn't work.
When I first saw it, I thought, ooh.
Well, he's built his own company.
Ben, you're going to have a long day.
He's been a tremendous asset to the conservative movement, and he's built his own, million times a thousand, business empire.
Yeah, no, it takes a ton of work.
He's worked his posterior off
right
there. But when you don't have
and he can do more work because he can also get more words in any given day than anybody else.
But that's what happens. You're going to get the personal insults.
Yeah.
That you have no right to say anything because, you know, you either have never worked or you're rich.
Yeah.
Like
right.
They were playing both sides of it.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howell's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
For months now, the turkey industry's been stymied by rising production, weakening demand, and falling prices. But are we seeing a turnaround in the works?
Maybe too soon to say a turnaround, but at least a good change from what had been a pretty steadily declining price outlook.
USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski, and yes, the signs of a turnaround are small. First, USDA's forecasting a reduction in turkey output for this year, a cut of only about 1.5%, but enough of a cut to cause USDA to change its previous 2024 forecast for average turkey prices.
This month, we raised our turkey price forecast by 1 cent per pound.
Just a penny a pound, taking projected prices only up to $1.08 a pound compared to $1.40 last year. So production, while falling, is still exceeding demand. Price prospects are improving, but not by much. So Mark Chekanowski says
it might suggest the start of a turnaround for the turkey industry.
It might. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. Female swimmers and female athletes sue the NCAA over male competitors. This is interesting because this is probably the case that will eventually get to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What did Title IX mean?
Right.
And that's when the left will be defeated on that.
Yep.
About to trigger somebody right now. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, a group of female athletes yesterday sued the NCAA for permitting male intrusion into their sex-specific sports and private spaces. Can you believe it's taken this long? Because you and I have been talking about this.
The first thing that hit me yesterday, yeah. I thought, is this the first one? Or is this the only one that's making the news?
Yeah.
Wow.
Spearheaded by the Independent Council on Women's Sports, a lawsuit accuses the NCAA and Georgia Tech, the site of the 2022 NCAA Swimming Championships, where Male University Pennsylvania swimmer Leah Thomas won the 500-meter freestyle, of knowingly violating Title IX. That federal statute prohibits discrimination. By the way, do you agree with me? They should also sue the Obama administration? Or you can't sue the Obama administration,
right?
But you would sue the Department of Education.
Yeah, and the DOJ.
And the DOJ?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that created it under the Obama administration.
Right, right.
And so it said the federal statute that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in educational institutions that receives federal funding, serving as the basis for sex segregated school athletics. The lawsuit demands that males be disqualified from participating in women's sports. It asks the NCAA to rescind awards given to trans athletes in women's competition and to reassign them to the female players who lost trophies and titles to the men. The lawsuit also asks for damages for pain and suffering, mental and emotional distress, suffering and anxiety, expense cost, and other damages due to the defendant's wrongful conduct. Among the plaintiffs are prominent women's sports advocates such as Riley Gaines, who tied with Thomas in the women's 200-meter race at the NCAA tournament in March of 2022. Caitlin Wheeler, who swam for the University of Kentucky alongside Gaines, is another plaintiff. Wheeler alleges in the suit that she and her teammates were forced into an extremely uncomfortable situation with having to change into their swimsuits in front of Thomas in the women's locker room. While you're doing this, you're exposed, Wheeler said in the suit. You can't stand there and hold a towel around you while you're putting the suit on at the same time. The female plaintiffs represent swimming programs at colleges such as NC State, Roanoke College, Virginia Tech, and the University of Kentucky. Kylie Allons, a plaintiff in the suit who swam for North Carolina State, told the Free Press that she changed in a dimly lit storage and utility closet at the NCAA championships to avoid changing with Thomas. Well, the reason you can't bring the Department of Justice and the Department of Education in it is because you're not going to win suing the federal government. You're not going to get damages from them. You are going to get damages from the NCAA. But will the NCAA go back to the Obama edict and just say, hey, they told us that's the law? They changed the law. Will they do that?
It would be their only defense.
Because clearly the Obama administration, the Education Department, and the Department of Justice knew. They knew that it meant biological sex. That's what it meant. That was the intent of the law.
Right.
Congress didn't change the law.
No.
So somehow a suit eventually has to get that far. So Title IX, well, maybe this could do it. Title IX, maybe you don't need it. Maybe you can bypass the Department of Education and Department of Justice, and by filing it saying Title IX never said this, and if they say, well, that's what the government says, well, then you can bring the government in to the actual lawsuit.
Well, because that joint edict said this is our interpretation of Title IX, and it was said repeatedly. So if the organization comes back and says, hey, we were under threat of action by the Department of Justice for violating the rights of the trans student, and we didn't have a choice.
The lawsuit also rejects the Band-Aid solution by many sports governing bodies of testosterone limits on male athletes, which the plaintiffs argue are not sufficient to level the playing field with women, which is absolutely correct.
Right.
They're absolutely correct on that. And we've always stated it's the lawsuits that are going to change this. It's a law. All the insanity we see now, so many of these things will be changed with lawsuits.
Right, yeah.
And monetary damages having to be paid off. Here's another one here, Valerie Richardson in the Washington Times. Is DEIDOA, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion regime, hit with a backlash? The diversity, equity, and inclusion framework that was all the rage 4 years ago is suddenly on the ropes. DEI programs remain the rule rather than the exception in academia, government, and business, but the social justice bureaucracy is in retreat as companies in the private sector, as companies slash budgets, local governments reverse race-conscious public safety policies, and states move to ban programs that promote racial division. Eventually, it's going to hit government, too.
Yeah.
DEI gets to the Supreme Court of the United States, it's gone.
Yep.
DEI's on the run, Mike Gonzalez, a senior fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, said Wednesday at an event titled Seizing the Moment to Defeat DEI. Everywhere you look, there are stories about how companies are ditching their DEI teams, how cities, even the leftist dystopia that we call Washington, D.C., are abandoning laws that protect the criminal and leave the population defenseless. Last month, Zoom announced it would fire its DEI team and replace it with outside consultants to engage all of our employees, other companies cutting their DEI staff as part of technology layoffs, include Amazon, Meta, X, Snap, Tesla, DoorDash, Google, and Lyft. DEI must DIE.
Wow.
Elon Musk, owner of X and Tesla, posted on December 15th. The point was to end discrimination, not replace it with different discrimination. Democrat-run cities are reinvesting in law enforcement after embracing the defund the police mantra that accompanied the 2020 Black Lives Matter protest and riots. Republican-led states are responding with legislation. At first, that meant approving bills to ban critical race theory. In the past year, half a dozen state legislatures have passed measures to dismantle DEI, including by barring the teaching of divisive concepts, the promotion of racial preferences, and the requirement that public employees and students sign diversity pledges. The leaders of cultural institutions were intimidated by the 2020 riots and implemented a raft of cultural changes that the American people are now rejecting, said Mr. Gonzalez. The American people are waking up to this threat that DEI poses to our freedoms, to our way of life, to our peace of mind, and our natural desire to have common national purposes and to our national security. You know, and you look at it, I mean, the pounding right now, you know, that Boeing is taking. And, you know, the number of things you see out there, social media, you know, is this because of DEI? Is this because of DEI? Then the Al Jazeera report.
Yeah.
Going in there undercover and finding the, you know, the employees, you know, these alleged employees stating, I wouldn't fly a Boeing.
Right.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. Are the best people actually building these things?
Right. Well, and that's it. If you implement such policy, what effect does it have? Well, that's probably the best example, if it's true, at a company like Boeing.
Yes. Yep.
Because we all put great trust in them when we get on a commercial flight.
Well, look, government doesn't have to be efficient and productive, and we know they're not.
Right.
They don't have to do the right thing. In fact, as we see right now,
exactly.
In almost every issue out there, government does the wrong thing.
Right.
Government right now, the Democratic Party, with all these things that are hurting the American public, they're doing the opposite of what they're supposed to do. They can get away with it because they're government.
Right.
Private sector can't do it. We've stated this.
No, things have to be right.
Private sector has to make things and make things correctly. So the standard of government and the propaganda BS that they want to throw out in a monopoly of people that don't have to perform, they don't have to come through, they don't have to produce products and services that actually work at the federal level. You do when you get down to the local level.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because
the garbage's got to be picked up.
People are right there. Exactly.
But the federal government, which is the reason why the founding fathers did not want a huge central federal government.
Right.
Exactly what you're seeing right now.
Right.
The federal government working against the American people, making their life harder, pathologically lying every single day to the point of gaslighting, where everyone knows. Like, as we, how many times have we said, Karine Jean-Pierre, John Kirby, the president, every day out there pathologically lying. But not only that, they know they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
They know the reporters they're giving the explanation to know they're lying. They know that the people that are watching it know that they're lying. The people know that they're lying, and the people know that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And they still continue to lie.
Right.
To the point of complete absurdity. Well, you cannot get away with that in the private sector. You can't.
No.
You can't get away with discrimination.
No.
You can't sit there and say, we need to fit this quota and then not produce an effective product and people get injured and killed because of it.
Right.
And that's why, again, the Boeing allegedly.
Yeah, if it is true.
Right, if it is true, that has the potential to stop everything.
Yeah, because and it is the prime example. It is the one scenario everybody fully understands. Oh, wait a minute. Are the best qualified individuals building the planes?
Yeah.
That I'm about to board. That's a big deal. And I think it's a great point that you make with government. Thank goodness they're not building the planes, not doing the things we rely on the private sector to do. But there's great inefficiencies. I can't tell you if DEI changes anything.
Well, look.
Inside the government, in terms of certain roles inside the government, I can't tell you what it changes there. But we can see it very clearly in the private sector. I was shopping the other day. I bought a canned item, and then I put it in my cart, and then I realized, oh, that one's dented. No. I put it back on the shelf. I got the non-dented one. Would it have killed me? No. But I didn't pay for a dent. I'm not buying dents.
And I don't know yet, and someone will do, someone in the media that I respect, that I believe is doing an honest job, will eventually sit there and, because one of the things we've looked at is, wow, Boeing seems to have a problem every other day. There's something falling off or a wheel blowing or something. Is this because the planes aren't being manufactured right, or that the media is just paying attention?
Is there a hyper-focus right now?
Is there a hyper-focus that these things happen all the time?
The same thing.
Is this unusual?
Right.
Or do these things happen all the time and we're just hyper-focused on it?
Right.
That's important to get to that point. So,
right.
But it's the fact of the amount of attention being paid to it means every American has heard about it now going, is DEI part of Boeing's problem?
Right.
They're asking the question. It may not be an accusation yet from the majority of Americans, but the thought process in their head is, are the best people building the planes?
Well, not only do we want to have the planes inspected, we want to have the hiring process inspected.
No, you're right.
We
need to inspect the inspectors.
Exactly. Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. The Fonnie Willis disqualification decision comes down today from the judge. I saw Alan Dershowitz talking about it yesterday. He was on Megyn Kelly's blog.
Mm-hmm.
Or her podcast, I mean.
Yeah.
Blog. Jeez. Boy, that's so 2012.
That's so 1994.
And he was just going, when she said, there was one analyst who said, well, I don't think that he's going to disqualify her. And he just went off the rails. He goes, if he doesn't disqualify her, he needs to be kicked out of office.
Right.
I'm like, wow. He goes, it's so obvious. He goes, that the perception of a conflict of interest and not only that, but she lied. He goes, everyone knows she lied.
Right.
And if she lied, it means she perjured herself. The judge knows she lies. We know she lied. He goes, CNN knows she lied. MSNBC, there were people there knowing that she lied. Everyone knows she lied. If the judge says she's not disqualified, he's allowing perjury.
Right.
Ooh.
Mm.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.